This podcast is rated E for explicit.
After our previous episode on the subject, picking up the check with a kept man on deck, we realized that not only is there a cost to keep, but there's a cost to be kept. What I ponder under the loud claps of thunder on rainy nights, if you may wonder, if you still belong to you, or has your will been exchanged for something you arranged that you now must submit yourself to? Do you ever awake to the sober thoughts that shake, like the earth when it quakes and causes us to take a different look at our lives? And what did you do when those thoughts arrived? Did they come through with the realization that being kept has a cost too? Well, those questions are for the folks who've found themselves in a plethora of situations that in some cases looked glamorous at first, until they fucked around and found out what it's like to have to quench an undying thirst. You met me in the midst of many things. Shedding skin, sprout wings, looking at life as a spiritual being through a human lens, having conversations with God about so many things. This show is your invitation. The poet God is the conversation. When you wish upon a star and you're granted a man who meets you where you are,
what a fox.
Except you wonder if you missed a step. Or did your fairy godmother forget to grant you a man that can pick up a check?
In my lifetime, I have never had a 50-50 anything.
Well, we found ourselves kept in the loop of a conversation apparently being had around the nation.
We hang out, he's great.
On what happens in some,
I am more productive at work,
situations.
I'm more productive at everything that I'm doing.
When you've been swept by a man,
6 months later,
taking you all the way to cloud nine.
He is a wonderful human being, and he has made me exponentially happier.
But not too fast.
He doesn't have such a great job.
Because he can't pay the fine.
I'm not talking like $10,000 difference. I'm talking about somebody making $100,000.
He can't.
Somebody making $30,000.
Pay the dine.
These are the things that I need you to do in order to continue to be this person.
He can't pay the wine.
Love is its own separate thing. And if you're comfortable with that, then his financial status shouldn't even matter.
But in the bedroom, he scores.
I mean, if you're not taking care of nothing
all the time,
then you need to be taking care of something. And that something needs to be me.
Right. And from your heart, he blows your mind.
Oh, you're going to sex me whenever I want.
From the start, he's sweet and he's kind. But the bills.
Find a partner that's going to be there for you.
Are never paid on time.
Minus work. Worrying about what their checkbook looks like.
So the question lingers yet.
And he could have been a kept man, but he wasn't good enough to be a kept man.
What is it worth to you?
A lot of people are broken coming into relationships.
To have a kept man.
If you want to drive me around 100% of the time,
on deck,
you can be kept in my house. Trust me. So I met this guy.
who was actually kept. Mm-hmm. He was a kept guy. But I didn't know it at first. You know, he was that it came out later, you know, mm-hmm. but we met, we had, you know, dinner, we talked, we laughed, we joked. And then later on, I found out that, you know, through something I heard, and I just went back and asked. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, do you have a boyfriend or something? And he was like, kind of, sort of, but not really. Yeah. It was kind of, sort of, but not really. And he said, I really can't talk about it. And that was it for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, what is kind of, sort of, not really? Well, I really don't have one, but I kind of have a situation. And I was like, okay. So, we continued to talk. We continued to keep in touch. You know, I didn't move forward with anything else because I'm like, okay, I need to understand what this is.
What these guys' dynamics are.
Right. Right. So what I ended up finding out was that, he was in a relationship, but with a mega pastor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so this is where I learned that pastors are not necessarily groomed by God, but you know necessarily what? are in it for money. You know, because, you know, my mind just was like, well, who would do that? Mm-hmm. You know, who would get into this just for the money?
Yeah.
Well, clearly people with a lot of charisma.
100%.
And so he was telling me that he was also being groomed, you know, for this thing, this, but.
Could be a
this
pastor? Guy,
yes. Oh. So, because again, he had a lot of charisma. And I think that that's where this guy found him. So this mega pastor found him and was like, okay, well, you need to
come down this
come this way. Let me guide
show you the
you.
Path.
Exactly.
Right.
Let me guide you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he had set this guy up in a really nice apartment. It was in the high rise. And so, you know, it wasn't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
So, cause when I went to his house, I was like, wow. And it was really nice. It was a one bedroom in a high rise in Buckhead, but it was really, really, really nice. And so he started telling me the story. He's like, you know, I have to be careful because basically he'll, you know, just come by. And, you know, I always tell him, like, look, you got a whole wife over here. I have nobody. So you can't say don't see anybody. But he was trying to tell this guy not to see anybody, whatever. So that's why he said he had a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the situation was this. The guy wanted sex and, you know, the pastor wanted sex and, you know, but he was also helping groom this guy to be a mega pastor. I found out that the guy wasn't really into becoming a mega pastor because he was like, I'm moralistically on the line. This is really bad. I don't want to go to hell. You know, that whole thing.
Right.
But I found it funny because it was a situation that really, I mean, how does stuff like this happen? I mean, I mean, first of all, the moralistic value of this pastor first, you know, you were in charge of this huge church. You're lying to all these people. So that's the first thing that I thought about. I'm like, wow, that is a crazy situation. But the other part was the handcuffs that this guy was wearing just because he didn't want to have a regular job.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I say, so you can get out of this anytime you want to go home.
Right.
Yeah. But doesn't want to lose out.
Well, it was, you know, my home life wasn't that great because he wasn't, you know, he grew up, you know, with a meager background.
Mm-hmm.
So no money really, you mm-hmm. know, single mom, you know, all of that. And so now you're in this high rise building. Who wants to give that up?
Right.
But at the same time, that's what I said. I'm like, if you want out, if this job description does not fit you, leave.
Yeah.
And his thought process was, I want to. But how do I leave all this and go back to where I came from?
You don't have to, though.
And that's what I told him. I say, he's opened up the world to you. If you're going to fulfill this job description, you might as well get something from it.
Mm-hmm.
Take an online class.
Mm-hmm.
Take some training. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he will pay for it.
100%.
Or lie about it. You know, just simply say, hey,
it's for something else.
It's for something else. But I need this money and I need it yesterday. And do you think he's going to say no? And he was like, well, no, I don't think he will say no. He will question, you know, what I want the money for. And I said, and you know, I said, being kept comes with a price. And I said, and the job description that you signed up for can change at the drop of a dime. Are you okay with that?
Right.
Yeah. What if he brings another dude up in here?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
But the contract that you signed says you are.
Right.
Pretty.
You might not be, but are you going to leave if he brings this guy up in here? Probably not.
Correct.
So, I mean, your future is tied to this guy until you decide to change it. And it's like, I just couldn't understand. Because I had an opportunity when I was younger to be a kept man. And guy wanted to buy me a car, but he was creepy. He was nice. Don't get me wrong. He was a nice guy, and he wasn't necessarily unattractive.
Not necessarily.
But he wasn't. How can I say this? Think of somebody with just... He was just creepy.
It was something off about him.
Exactly. There was something off about him. I didn't like the way he would hug me. It was just too much. And so he was like, I could do this for you. I could do this for you. And I could do this for you. And I'm a pros and cons kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay. So yeah, we could do this. The guy's already bought the damn car. We could really do this. But I would have to deal with the creepiness. Right. I would have to deal with him touching me. I don't like him like that. And so I went down. Those were all the cons.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one pro.
The car.
I get a new car.
Right.
But then this guy wanted a key to my apartment.
Oh no.
Which means that he would have had access to me 24/7.
He'd been staring at you while you were sleeping.
And exactly. And that's what I was like. You know what? I would wake up and this guy would be in bed.
You know what?
And he would be staring at me while I opened my eyes. I was like, uh-uh. Nope. And so I knew for me, being a kept man, while I could be, there would be some serious criteria in order for me to make that work. First of all, it would have to be a loving situation.
Yeah.
It couldn't just be one of those, oh, I just want a sugar mama or a sugar daddy. It needs to be a loving situation or ain't nothing performing downstairs. So that's first and foremost to me. And I don't mind doing and taking care of another human being if that's what the job description is. And if it's love, then that will come naturally. So for me, hell yeah, I'd be a kept man.
And it's interesting that you said that because you and I are similar in that aspect about having the sexual aspects being tied to the emotional and the mental. But I'm always fascinated when I talk to other people and they tell me these stories about situations. I'm like, so were you attracted to this person? Nah, I don't give a fuck. I mean, she was paying some bills and I ate that pussy out and this, that, and the other. And I'm like...
And I cringe every time. Yeah.
Right. So you're able to do that and you're not attracted to... Okay.
I have friends who can have sex with anything and I don't understand it. I don't understand it because I'm like, how does it even work?
Right. How do you get there?
How do you get there? I mean, how did you get in that situation? Because I can't even remotely place myself in some of the situations because basically I look like an ass after I'm done. Cause they were like, well, I came over here for that. well,
listen,
I could point it back. Like, well, after all, you're not all that cute. You know, but what would that do? But so, yeah. So for me, there would have to be some rules for me to be kept.
I get that.
And it would have to be, like I said, again, like a very loving kind of situation. That it could only be that for me because otherwise ain't nothing working. I'm not even polite when I don't like you.
I'm dead.
You know, so yeah. So.
But what are you, so I know we've talked about what it is to be a kept person. What do you think is that line of being a kept man? Because I think in some of the examples that we have mentioned, I just think it's not really a kept situation. It's a partnership. It's just,
yeah,
like you said, it's a situation that they're going through.
Yeah. I almost think that you have to be in that mindset to want to go out. Well, first of all, I think that your self-esteem is extremely low. To put yourself in that situation where you're going to pay to have another person be with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to start with you not feeling okay about yourself in some way, some shape, or some form. So that's the basis of it. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's easier because you don't want the rejection that you think you're going to get. So it's all self-esteem for me. So you plan to go out and keep this person. One of my friends for a couple of months had an escort on retainer. Before you comment, I asked why. And he was like, because I was doing a lot of engagements and I just didn't want to engage in somebody in trying to date somebody enough to take them to these places. And he said, and it was just easier just to hire an escort and say, hey, escort me to these places, you know, and be my partner. And I was like, huh. Now I would have pivoted that and it would have been one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but so again, it takes a certain mindset to kind of put you into that situation where you are wanting to keep somebody.
So was there sex involved in that escort retainer situation? Or does it just public appearance?
No, he didn't say, but for this person, appearance is everything.
Oh, I see.
So okay. I'm assuming he wanted somebody catchy. He wanted somebody that people were going to look at
and be like, "Ooh, look at."
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. So as a matter of fact, I'm positive that that's what the reasoning was, because, you know, this person is a little bougie and does like a great arm piece, you know, and to be able to talk about it, you know, in a different, you know, like with my friends, you know. So I think it was more about flashy, but I also think it was more about, you know, that people are going to talk about.
So that sounds like almost like a Pretty Woman type situation.
Yeah. And to me, that's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. It was like, I want somebody beautiful on my arm, but I don't want the work that would go into getting that on a regular basis.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
And I think that was what Pretty Woman was about. He wasn't willing to, you know, take time to date and to appropriately do these things. So, you know, boom. Well, you're here now. So let's
make this work.
Right. Let's make it work.
Mm-hmm. Except, you know, we know how that turned out.
True. True. Because she didn't want to be kept.
Yeah.
She wanted to be loved.
Loved.
And I think that eventually he got there. Well, not eventually. He did get there, but I think he was always somewhat there as he started to see little things about her.
Mm-hmm.
He liked them, but again, was too afraid. And then the people in his ear, of course, you know, talking to him. But the bottom line is she didn't want to be kept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see all your riches. I don't give a crap about that. I want you. But I don't want you to put me up in an apartment without the love that will go with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like a reverse situation of what we're talking about, that movie.
Yeah.
Because they started out transactional.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Very much so. And then it turned out to be something the opposite.
Because he was being kind.
Yes.
He was showing a different side to somebody who had not been shown a lot of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got pulled in, but he also got pulled in by the things that a normal prostitute wouldn't do. Who would be, what prostitute is going to be up in there flossing her teeth?
Right. No, really. Yeah.
I mean, literally. Okay. I mean, who's doing that?
Right.
And so he's seeing those things and he was like, oh, she's a real person.
Right.
You know, she's not a prostitute. She is a prostitute, but she is a real person. There's something underneath. And it wasn't until he decided to kind of scratch beneath the surface that he realized, okay, I can give more because I do like her.
Mm-hmm.
And I get she doesn't want to be kept and she wants to be loved. And maybe I can do this. But I think the bottom line for her was, you don't look at me like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't just assume because I'm out here, you know, selling my body that I'm not a human being.
Right. Or I don't have value. I don't have worth. And then an interesting thing about the people in his community, that element came into with his best friend.
Exactly.
Who found out that was the nature of the origin of the relationship.
Right. Cause once he found out, he was like, oh, well, let me have her too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that also gave her another thought that maybe he wasn't the person that she thought
he was. Because she thought that he told her.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, he told him that or you could go in there and do what you need to do, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think people who seek out trying to keep people are people who are also just trying to some extent, have their cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. I want to be happy. I don't want to do the work because it's too painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, rejection. I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier for me to pull out my wallet, find somebody and say, hey, for this amount of money, for this apartment, mm-hmm. for this car, I want these things. Can you do it?
Right. And then on the flip side of that, not doing that work could cost you everything because what you might open up yourself to in bringing somebody that's willing to be kept.
Well, how can you be happy
mm-hmm.
without doing the work?
Right.
How can you really be happy? Because now, because you're paying this person, you can't just expect them to love you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even expect them to be loyal
mm-hmm.
to you because you are a job.
Right.
Right.
Because you're paying me. You're a job.
Sometimes the cost of being kept leaves the keeper with scars they'll never forget. When we return, we'll discuss one man's story that shows just how deep those scars can get.
What is it that these people are looking for? I mean, because it sounds to me they're just looking for a big dick.
Listen, so much has been attached to the black penis. Our values, our ideas around what it means to be more or less of a man, our fantasies, and as history shows, our fears.
When white people have a belief system that the role of a black person is to bring them pleasure,
mm-hmm.
is to make them happy, is to fulfill whatever need or desire it is that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And that message gets passed down generation to generation.
Yes.
And it shows up in different contexts, but it's the same shit.
They castrated us.
Mm.
And the reason why they castrated us was because they were in fear of the big black penis.
We unpacked a lot in this episode. Press play, sit back, because it's a heavy load. Listen to Past the Black Penis. Season 3, Episode 2.
And after you follow the Poet God podcast on your favorite podcasting app, a quick search of the Poet God on Twitter and Instagram will connect you to just what we have on tap. And if you're not that social, at thepoetgod.com, we got your back.
Since podcast apps are up to tricks, subscribe directly with us at thepoetgod.com. Because these hoes, I mean these apps, ain't loyal. So subscribe with us at thepoetgod.com and put these notification problems in the soil.
I was thinking about a show I was watching recently about a real life situation where this man was single for a good part of his life. He had a lot of land and a lot of money. A lot of property, a lot of real estate, stuff like that. But he was pretty much a loner, low key. He didn't value material stuff, you know. And, this woman, came into his life and I think she was a psychic, that he went to or got hooked up with. And, she saw, no pun intended, that there was a lot of opportunity there for her to, manipulate him because she also realized that he was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got closer to him and she found out that, you know, he wanted the companionship, but he was socially awkward. He had different, and he wasn't able to manifest a relationship at least not in a traditional way. So she told him, she said, well, I'll be all of that for you. And she wasn't attracted to him, so she wasn't having sex with him, but she said to him, I want to give you a family, but the way we're going to do it is that you're going to put your sperm in this little vial and then I'll go and I'll do what I need to do.
Absolutely.
And then right.
Wow.
So she claimed in reality, the children that she had was from her for her boyfriend who was in on the scheme that she was running on this dude.
Wow. And
they did this for, I believe it was 10 years. 10 years, she ran this scheme on this man. They ran this scheme on this man. He thought he had two children with this woman. But as I was listening to the story, I was thinking to myself, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, what kind of self-esteem do you have for your companion to say, I don't want to sleep with you, but you could put your sperm in this little thing for us to have kids. And then for you to
be okay with that.
Yeah. Be okay with that. That's really, really deep.
Yeah, it is deep. But it's also, I think of it kind of, and it goes back to something you said earlier. It's like, you know, these situations, when we think of keeping quote unquote a loving partner, it doesn't start off that way,
mm-hmm.
right? You are dating this person, right? So you are picking up on the things that you enjoy and you love about this person and what you might admire, and you're seeing all these qualities in them.
Mm-hmm.
But if it starts, if day one, the front door starts with, here's a dollar, what can you do for me? That is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a completely different concept to that. That is where we're looking at, hey, your self-esteem is not there. So what you are saying is, this is what I can hold over you to keep you with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that that's where we look at lines a little bit different. I think that, again, bringing back to what Tyler Perry was saying, it can go heavier on you being okay with having a partner that doesn't make the same amount of money. It could be situational. It's temporary. Maybe mm-hmm. they lost their job or they're working on something greater, but you have all these other pieces. It didn't start with, hey, at the front door, sign up for this $1 million job just to do whatever I ask you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I can speak to that. So one of my situations was that we got together. It was a wonderful coming of the minds. It was just right. You know, the conversation was right. Everything was right. Had a job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was, you know, well into maybe the first few months, had a job, now lost a job. Okay. Had some issues trying to find a new one. And so, you know, I had to kind of push a little bit, but eventually got another job.
Right.
Okay. Now couldn't keep a job.
Mm.
That's what the scenario became. But here's what I found funny though. When they would go, we would get into a fight and they would go to their sister's house and all of a sudden get a job and keep it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a job and keep it.
Yeah.
But then when we make up, you come back with the job, but the job is gone 3 weeks after you done got back here.
Right.
Now this cycle repeated a few times, and till I got kind of smart, I was like, wait a minute. Why the hell can you keep a job over there, but you can't keep a job over here? Well, sister was demanding a job. You're not going to be up in here,
without.
You know, without.
Mm-hmm.
Me, on the other hand, was like, oh, well, you know, just go find another one, you know, blah, 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 blah. Not necessarily after you, boom, 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 boom. Do you got a job today?
Mm-hmm.
You got a job today. That's not my personality. I'm not that with somebody I care about. However, that personality, he wanted to be a kept man. And I could see it, but I could also see the history of it in his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, father was a kept man to some mm-hmm. extent. Mm-hmm. Still is.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just shocking because he's not a good person at all. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. So it's almost like it was hereditary.
Right.
You know, you're looking at this person's father was a kept man. And even though he wasn't, I will not say he came with that mindset that I want to be a kept man. He just wasn't making any money otherwise.
Yeah.
In his interest. They wasn't making him any money. Not that he wasn't good at it, but it just wasn't a moneymaker. And so situationally, mm-hmm. he kind of became a kept man until I had enough. Because yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I'm getting my ass up every day. You're going to have to get your ass up every day. Even if it's just to clean this motherfucker up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I cannot be okay with you doing nothing. Just yeah. all day. Literally.
Correct.
And you're not even taking that great care of me.
I can get a pet for that.
Exactly. And I got to argue with you.
Yeah.
About things. I was like, so no.
So in that particular situation that you're speaking of, if the household was being taken care of, if there was food on the table, if there was, you know, you felt more taken care of as far as the partner in the relationship, would that part have been not so much of a big deal? And that
at that point I made enough money to take care of us both.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything had been, let's put it like this, if when I got home, no, let me step it all the way back. If I needed to go to work, you driving me. If he was taking care of me mentally and physically, And I'm not that kind of guy where I would make unreasonable demands. You just need to be doing enough for me where I felt like that was enough of a job that you don't need to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, mentally and physically taking care of me, that's a lot of work. So I you throw in some driving, I would think that would be enough. So yes, I would be okay with that because think about it. I am now happy 360 degrees of happiness. How much more can I do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can walk into anybody's job. I wouldn't have to take the sick days I take sometimes, just not because I can't deal with them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have somebody feeding me mentally so I can go in there and be like, you know what? I need that promotion yesterday.
Yeah.
And probably get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am mentally and physically being fulfilled in every other aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
There is no dollar amount I wouldn't pay for that. So absolutely I would keep his ass. Hell yeah. Stick around.
So I want to ask, because from my side, it seems like you are a keeper. So in being that, and I guess you were also asking, like, what are those points? Like, what would be some of the things for you? So I'll start by saying for myself, I think that I potentially have the ability to be a keeper, but I think in my mindset, I say, you still have to work. And the reason why I would want my partner to work is not necessarily to say, I need you to pay these bills, right? But I want you to have something for yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? I want you to have something for yourself that you enjoy. It can be a nonprofit. Heck, you could even just be volunteering, but it's something that provides you something that you also enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we are coming together and we are doing these things together, kind of like you're saying, you're also watering and feeding me
right,
exactly. to be better.
Exactly.
So I think of it in that sense. I'm like, sure.
And you probably will feel better about it because now you have this sense of, because I can provide for you financially, you have the freedom now to pursue, if you're an artist, do that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you want to do a nonprofit, you want to feed the hungry and go and, you know, whatever it is, and you feel good that I'm glad I can help you do that.
Right.
Right.
But I do want you to do things for me as well. So mm-hmm. I hate cooking. So if you're going to cook, not even if, cook, please, please, and make foods that I like, right? For sure, help keep the house clean, right? There will be other things that I would, in my mind, expect from you
right.
in that sense. But I do have these little things of like, hey, do something outside of this as well. So,
right.
And I'll rebuttal that. He had some things that he was doing outside of that. They just weren't moneymakers. Yeah, they just weren't moneymakers. Or enough of money. They weren't making enough money to do anything for him. You know, as far, it couldn't pay his car note. It couldn't pay, you know, it could barely pay a bill.
Mm.
You know, but, I mean, so he was doing something. It just wasn't enough.
I get that.
To get him by.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking also too, I think when it's in that situation too, you shouldn't have to demand of that person to give me mental stimulation or contributing. If I was in that situation, I would be thinking, what can I do to help the person? I shouldn't have to wait for them to tell me, hey, clean the house, pick up the trash, cook food. I would want to do something to benefit myself or benefit mm-hmm. the relationship. Because for me, I would feel awkward somebody else doing 100%. Even if I can't contribute financially, I would be willing to do other things to make sure that
mm-hmm.
I'm benefiting the relationship. And again, if the person is having the other person have to tell them what to do, that's just not good.
Yeah.
No.
Because you should want to do it.
Exactly. If the situation was flipped and I was being kept and of course, in a loving situation, like mm-hmm. I described, there's things that would happen that they would be just surprised about, because I would show up with a picnic lunch.
Right.
Hey, let's go for lunch. Yeah.
Right.
Because I want to show how much love, you know, that there is. I mean, so literally, and first of all, I wouldn't be the average kept person, you know, just sitting around, laying around. For me, it would be like, wow, I can do all of these things. And I would have a charity or two that I'm serving. But I think most importantly, my focus would be that person.
Yeah.
What can I do to brighten this person's day to day?
Mm-hmm.
And I would go about doing those little things that this person appreciates, whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
I would find ways to work that into...
Figure out what their love language
exactly.
is.
Exactly. I would work mm-hmm. that into the day, because again, it can't just all be about me.
Right.
I mean, this person is working so hard to take care, even if they're not, even if they're just a millionaire or whatever. Still, you have extended your finances to cover me. What can I do to benefit you?
Mm-hmm.
Today or tomorrow or the next day. I think that that's the one thing that's different between a regular kept situation and a loving kept person. It's because I think that that person in a loving situation is doing whatever they think that they could possibly do to make this person happy. They're coming up with it. They're churning these ideas out.
Right.
Whereas the person who is in a job, well, I have to fill my job description today. I'm off.
Right.
Punch the clock and I'm done. Now, let me see if I can find somebody I'm really liking. You know
right.
what?
Right.
You know, that's funny. But that's the difference between the two situations that you've got to consider. One is a job, and the other one is like, oh my God, this is the perfect loving situation.
Right.
Have you ever heard of a partially kept partnership? Well, you will after these messages. My intention for this podcast is for it to be an enlightening experience of love. And from what I hear, that intention is being met loud and clear.
This was amazing. I wish every high school senior who's graduating can hear this, and every college graduate can hear this. This is super, super special, and I enjoyed it 100%.
I like where you are coming from, using the word God to communicate to people, because so many people have so many different ideals of God. You seem to be on a higher spiritual plane because you seem to have a personal connection, which is a great thing. We're all God's children, but some of us just do devilish things. I think what we're going through with these times right now with this coronavirus is teaching us we all need each other.
Indeed, we do. And it is with the support of people like you, I will continue to answer the call to share what God has given me, because this is a gift I believe the world is meant to hear and see.
No, what you were talking about reminded me of what you said last time, which is about being partially kept. And oh, I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Please, dive deeper.
Oh, so, you know, I've had, so I don't believe in, you know, meeting people and you have to have a certain type of job. Mm-hmm. Because love is what it's going to be. And so one of my best relationships was a 40-60 kind of, I paid 60% of the rent, he paid 40. And that's because his job wasn't as good as mine. And I felt like it was unfair to have this great apartment that I wanted. First of all, let me say that. I wanted this great apartment. Mm-hmm. And so I was willing to pay more than, you know, 50%. Right. And so he was cool with that. But he also was just good about, you know, paying the, you know, the smaller bills. He was good about doing that on time. And you know how hard that is. Doing it on time and without me having to follow up and be like, where my money at?
Yeah.
Where my money at? Where the bread at? You know, I never had to do any of those things. So to me, because he did so much, I didn't mind taking more of the hits. Like when we went out for dinner, that was mostly on me. When we went on vacation, that was mostly on me. Because he didn't have that kind of job. So he was partially kept.
Yeah.
Now, I would even say, had he, if he was better at taking care of me, he would have been even almost all the way kept. Because he was still, and keep your job.
Yeah.
You can keep your job, keep doing what you're doing, but I'm going to pay even more because basically, peace of mind, not having to do certain things. I see that as not everybody's going to fit this mold of you can pay all of this or you can pay all of that. I would guarantee, I would even venture out to say that in the United States, most people are partially kept.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just think about it. One of our partners is going to want way more than we actually want. And that partner is going to be willing to pay for it and not drag you all the way into trying to pay half when they know you can't.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you are partially kept.
Mm-hmm.
For a minute, I was partially kept because I was only paying a portion of the rent because I just started this new job. And so, and I had to work up to the promotion part. And once I got the promotion, I was good and I could actually pay 50% at that point. But before then, I was partially kept.
Yeah.
And it was a very loving relationship and I never got dinged for being partially kept. But in my mind, I thought about it. I was like, yeah, you were partially kept, dude, because you were filling in by doing dishes. You were filling in by, you know, doing little things around the house. That was what paid my extra portion of the rent.
At least even from these conversations, it is a thing of on the outside. Cause I think in all of those relationships, you weren't saying you're a kept man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's just, right.
You're my partner.
Right.
And we are doing what works best for us.
Exactly. And I think that that's the part of having a partially kept person that you don't even consider because you're doing it together. It's not intentional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, when you get with somebody, I don't look at what you do because what you do is not important. What you do for me is how you treat me is important.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, hell, I got enough money to take care of me.
Yeah,
I can do a great job of taking care of me, which I do. And I don't expect anybody to come into a relationship to do just that. Now, if you want to do that, then that's great. But I think that when we talk about, you know, those percentages, that sliding scale and sliding it both ways, well, what happens when you go into it that way? Like yeah. We went into this because I wanted a better apartment, you know, and I realized he couldn't afford it. That so we walked into a partially kept situation.
Mm.
It was planned. And so in my mind, when it's that way, you don't think about it.
Right.
You don't think about it in that situation, but it is that situation because you are saying, I'm going to pay more of this. You pay less or you do this over here or you could do that or you. And in this case, what I did was I said, well, you just pay, you know, more of the bills. Like, you know, the light bills, the cable bill, the, you know, mm-hmm. the water bill.
Right.
You take those and then those become, you know, your extra 20%.
Correct.
Mm. And, you know, and I wasn't
like for instance, if we were in a non-sexual situation, I was attracted to the person, I would be like, okay, and if you want to throw in some sex,
yeah,
that could be your 20%. You know, so literally, or right. some driving, that's mm-hmm. your 20%. You know, I don't think it has to be a set type of keeping as long as you agree to it. As long as you're getting out of it what you need and the other person's getting what they need. And right. in this case, we were in a really, really happy situation because it was, I got what I wanted. He got to be in this wonderful place that he wanted to be in, mm-hmm, but just right. couldn't afford. Mm-hmm. So it worked out for us both.
And I think in those cases, when it works out, tell your friends to mind their fucking business.
Oh, I didn't give a shit. I didn't give a shit. But I will say my friends were envious. Mm. Oh, I wish I was with you. I wish I could be with you. Just saying, but here's the thing. It wasn't about this person necessarily. It was about literally, it started with me wanting this great apartment that I saw.
Right.
And I was like, oh shit, I gotta have that apartment. And I was like, oh shit, he can't pay half. Yeah, that's okay. I can pay the fortune. So, and that's what it was. I was doing the math in my head and I was like, look, and we were already together. So mm-hmm. we were together in this other apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to say that part. So
mm-hmm.
we were together in this other apartment. And when the lease was up, I was like, look, here's what I like to live. And I showed him the brochures and he was like, damn, that place is nice. And he looked at the price tag and he was like,
Yeah, I can't afford that.
He said, Marcus, I can't afford that. And I was like, but I already figured that out. Here's what you're going to pay.
Right.
And I had written it on the brochure. I said, here's the number that you'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, that's what I'm paying now. I said, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like,
okay.
You okay with that?
Right.
He said, I don't know, but
he was willing to consider.
But you see that, but that's to me, again, so it goes back to where I say, you know, we can try to reflect back. I think we're looking at this from hindsight and saying, hey, you know, he was kind of kept. But truthfully, in that moment, he wasn't. It wasn't
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
It was this love in this relationship. This is where we were moving forward together. We made this decision. We communicated how this would work for the both of us. And these were the things that we walked into.
Bam.
Period.
And that's how mm-hmm. it happened. And literally, all I wanted was a better place for us.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a bigger place for us. And you're exactly right. And it happened. Now he was a little hesitant because he was like, well, what if I lose my job or what if you lose your job? Or what? I said, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And I said, if you lose your job, I can afford the whole rent. So it's not like we'd be impacted or we're going to be thrown out. Now, if I lose my job, that's a different story. That's a whole different story if I lose my job. I said, but we will cross that bridge when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I love it that the whole thing is that we.
It was about we.
But the situation was kept. The person was not. He wasn't a kept mentality type person.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. The situation
right.
was, because he could have said, we're going here, and in his mind would be like, can Marcus pay for this?
Right.
Automatically, in his mind, it'd be like, automatically thinking that you're going to pay for it automatically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But he's not that person.
Right. So it was just a situation itself, but he was not mentally.
Which goes back even to the thought of it makes it easier to do that.
Exactly. And it was the type of situation that Tyler Perry was talking about.
Correct.
It was everybody is in here doing what they're supposed to do. And literally, now, in this situation, I was the cook.
Okay.
Because he couldn't. And I was not eating that garbage that he was trying to cook. I was like, baby, whoa.
Don't worry about it.
Just stay out of the kitchen. Because I had one of those meals and I was like, oh God, who's eating that? And so he was like, well, it's pretty good. And I was like, let me show you what good is. And I fixed up and it was totally different. And at that point, he was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And but, he tried too.
That's the difference,
right? And that's
he didn't intend to be kept.
That's what I'm trying to say, and that's where I'm like, this is where all of this is. It is not a thing of coming and stepping into this saying, "Hey, I want you to do X, Y, and Z for me," mm-hmm. right? Because I've even had conversations with friends, and it's funny because, you know, when I moved out here, I was trying to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know people here.
Right.
And one of the things that I had learned very quickly was I couldn't tell people what I did for work.
Mm.
Because even in making friendships, they were like, oh, you do this?
Assumption.
This is what you should do for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So even in, wow. when I got to a space where I was single and I was meeting people, I was like, I could never date someone that at the front is like, these are the things that I expect you to do for me financially. I'm not doing that. Yeah. But there's a different thing that if I grow to care for you and love you, I'm going to be willing to do that tenfold if I can afford it.
Exactly.
Because of
the love
that I have.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do that at the front.
Right.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Well, it's funny. If I was to start dating somebody now, the only thing that they would see right off the bat is my car. Yeah. I would not bring them to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would cause a whole host of issues. And I'm like, I I've seen it happen in the past where, you know, I brought somebody to the house, they looked around and they're, oh, okay, well, yeah, I want to be your new boot. No, right. No, you're not.
Right.
No, you're not. So, because basically things and stuff can change people's minds, you know, about you. And I'm like, no. So I've learned to, first series of dates, you probably won't see my house for at least a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to get a rental car too.
Exactly. And I literally thought about getting a rental car. But then I was like,
hilarious.
But you know what? Because this is Atlanta and people drive, you know, Lamborghinis and stay in apartments.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I can get away with driving an Audi.
100%.
And staying in an apartment. I can get away with that narrative. And, but you're right. I had a Civic and unfortunately it was stolen from in front of the house.
Oh.
And so that was my meetup car. You know, get in the meetup car. They see the Civic. They be there, you know, okay, this guy's average. You know, he ain't got no way. And that's the way that I would do it. But now I'm in a different mindset. I can control my own narrative. I don't care what you see. I just don't want them seeing the house because at that point, it's not huge or anything like that, but it's enough stuff in there to make people be like, oh,
right.
Right.
Ooh, and so I'm like,
ooh, he got money.
Yeah. And so I was like,
where do I sign up?
Maybe not show them the house
off
the bat because people start to look around, they start to assess. And I don't want to the potential of a kept situation
right.
going my way. So, but like you said, I think for me, it's a matter of because I am giving you everything of me from day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean I'm turning over checkbooks or anything like that to you immediately, you know, because I've got to scrutinize you first.
Right.
But you can ask me just about anything and I'm going to tell you, you know, I think that trust should be the first thing that you cross. Communication should be the next thing that you cross.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't always happen, you know, and so I think relationships today are impacted by our technology.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Because half the time, you don't even get to talk to a person without them looking at their phone since the time.
It's disgusting.
Michael
well, Hayes. you guys already kind of leaned into what I wanted to end with, but I'll say it anyway. Somebody was telling me about this pervasive transactional mentality in regards to dating, and I think they were talking about Tinder, looking at these profiles, and they were saying to me that there's so much of that in these profiles that what people are saying, it somewhere it ties back to something financial and whatever. And they were like, it's disgusting. Yeah.
Generous. People are putting cash. People are putting cash apps.
Oh my God.
In their profile, which is absolute. Something reading like, I only want to talk to generous people.
Right.
Okay.
That's an escort relationship.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, so you're already putting it out there with what you're looking for. You're shopping for a sugar daddy or sugar mama. And granted, all of us would love one, but most of us have morals to the point where there are certain things we're not going to do for a sugar mama or a sugar daddy or just a kept situation in general.
And that's, I think you guys have spoken beautifully about the ins and out of that and the reality, but what advice would you give to a young person who come in this generation and that's their approach to relationship and connection and so forth? What would you caution them on?
My first thought would be stop what you're doing and figure out how to love yourself.
I would agree. I think that's how you keep yourself out of those sort of situations to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know your own worth.
Exactly.
So your net worth isn't what brings you value.
Be truthful for yourself of who you are and not what you expect people to think you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Be truthful for who you really are. And then start from there.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, say that you do get what you think you want. Then what? What after that? What after that? Is that happiness? It's empty. And that's what I think you'll eventually discover.
Well, I would say anybody that goes back to that, the greatest statement, money can't buy love.
Mm-hmm. Or happiness.
Or happiness. Boom.
Or safety.
Damn sure can't buy safety.
But it can buy you closeness, right?
Yeah.
Good joke. It can buy you closeness.
Proximity.
And proximity was what it would be buying you.
Correct.
You definitely want to be close in love. Mm-hmm. Right?
Whatever happened to the mega pastor situation? How did that conclude?
He decided that he was going to follow my advice. So what he did was he started like taking these little classes.
Awesome.
Now I didn't like, cause the pastor eventually found out we were communicating.
Oh.
And so, okay. And even though we weren't having sex or anything, he found his phone. He was in his phone and, you know, saw that he didn't see all the text messages cause he was deleting them.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw one, where I said, we should hang out, you know, and go to such place. And literally we were hanging out as friends. Mm-hmm. He assumed that I was the date. So he's like, you can't talk to him. I shouldn't see his number, just any other blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, of course, you know, we didn't have another way to communicate, you know, and that was the only phone he had.
Wow. Okay.
And so, after that, I didn't pay much attention. And honestly, my mind was so blown to learning that pastors were created and groomed and not ordained by God.
Mm.
So, I mean, I was so distraught when I heard that. I was like, well, Jesus. I mean, because it's not something I would do. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that's
like straight to hell.
You have people that's going to chase a dollar any way that they can, unfortunately.
And that's what my mother told me. Because I was like, Mom, can you imagine? She was like, baby, it's okay. She said, you just think about God. And because it was straight to hell is all I kept thinking.
Right.
Straight to hell.
And as you're telling it, I can't help but think about this video that I watched that this comedian did, and the title of it was like, Eddie Long, You're Wrong.
Oh, so wrong.
Right.
So wrong. So wrong.
And I'll leave that there. Thank you, guys.
Oh, my God. Right.
Well, well, well. What a way to kick off our sixth season. And I'm so excited about the episodes ahead. Visit thepoetgod.com and join our growing community and discover with us just how fascinating life can be. I'm Mikhail Johnson, and this is The Poet God. Thank you for listening.